Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1 this morning. Pastors always have the challenge of coming up on these special events with places to go. There are plenty of scripture for Mother's Day, for Father's Day, and there is not a lack of context, a lack of narrative to look at, but Mother's Day for Ruth may seem a little bit strange since we're primarily focusing on a mother-in-law. And mother-in-laws historically, in some realms, just they get the brunt of things. And I'm not a joke teller, as you well know. I've been here long enough. I think you know. I like a good joke. I like a good joke. They're funny, but one, they don't seem to stick with me so that I can remember to tell them, so it's not me. It's not that I don't mind a good joke. I do, but for some reason, it's just not kind of in my makeup that those kind of naturally flow out of me. And some people, they are. And I appreciate that. You know, we're all made differently for different reasons. Those aren't. And when it comes to mother-in-law jokes, since I did have one, I mean, I still do. She is my mother-in-law. She always will be. She's in heaven. But mother-in-law jokes do not go over well with me. I mean, I get it. I mean, I get that idea, but that's not my mother-in-law. She was my best advocate. I was not on the wrong side of my mother-in-law. I was on the right side. And actually, her daughter was sometimes on her wrong side because of the son-in-law that she had. She was my best advocate and would remind her daughter how well she had it as me as her husband. And I appreciated that through the years. And I do miss that. I don't have that advocate in my corner now when things pop up to have her say to her daughter, "Don't you realize how good you have it?" So I miss that. But we look at a mother-in-law this morning, and we will focus on a mother too. I mean, this book is entitled Ruth, after a particular lady. But our focus really is this morning on Naomi, the mother-in-law. Because ultimately, without Naomi, you don't have a Ruth. And I don't know that we've ever thought along those lines to stop and think. You know, we bring up Ruth, and we honor her, and we should. I mean, I love this story. And for those of you that have my Bible schedule, you know last year, on the leap year, for February 29th, Ruth is the reading for that day. It's out of order, but since that's a day that's not there in the normal year, things are a little different in the reading schedule, and I put Ruth there to read for that particular day. Because it is such an intriguing story as you read of this account and see God's work unfolding, His providential working, in the midst of, we look at this, tragedy, as we see a family leaving the house of bread in the midst of a famine, to go to a land of heathenism, a land God has cursed, or a people that God has cursed, that He wants the Israelites to have nothing to do with, and yet this family goes there. And they're there for, I'm sure, what would be considered 10 long years. Hard years. And when three men have died, the matriarch says it's time to go home. Time to go back to the land of promise. Time to go back to the house of bread, to Bethlehem. And we'll pick it up kind of there with our reading here in a moment. But again, it is a very intriguing story where we can see God at work that has, as we know, long-lasting implications. Because this Moabite woman, Ruth, is an ancestor to not only King David, but ultimately of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who but God could see this come about? But I want us to look this morning, as we do, at Naomi and the impact, the example that she set, that I believe is there, kind of under the surface, if you will. Our writer doesn't, you know, blow this up and show us, and yet it's there. And so I want us to look at that this morning as we read. We'll read verses 6 through 22 to get our context. Again, I trust the account, the book we all know, we're familiar with, but let's read these verses this morning. It says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. She had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt verily, very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let's pray. Father, we come to thee. We thank you for this time that we have now to take our hearts and minds and bring them into focus with you and your word. Father, help us to put aside, as always, the distractions, the cares, concerns of our lives that can so easily draw us away from hearing what you have for us. May they be set aside. May our hearts truly be united with you this morning, ready to receive your word, ready to be challenged, to be changed by the working of your word in our hearts that God, the Holy Spirit, does with it in each of our lives as believers. For that one that is here lost, Father, we know the Holy Spirit is there too, working to convict and to convince them of their sin and of what Christ accomplished on their behalf when he died in their place for their sins. May they come to know you this morning, be gloriously born again. May they not leave till they have that settled. May we, your children, go forth, truly changed, conformed into the image of Christ, our Savior. We thank you for this account as we go back into history and see your working in the lives of a family, using trials, testings, and seeing how you bless mightily. May we take heart. We serve the same God. You work in our lives as you did theirs. The story's not done till we are in your presence. And even then, the story continues to unfold until the end of the ages. And so, Father, may we rest knowing that you are at work. And we'll continue to do so to see your plan, your purposes unfold in our lives. Help us to trust, to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at Naomi, I think we see a good example of a mother, a mother-in-law. And we see things kind of unsaid, if you will, yet it's noted. And we really, a question I know that we cannot have answered because we don't have an answer. Why did Ruth leave her own family and go to a foreign land with her mother-in-law? I think we can at least speculate enough to know that she obviously took the God of Israel as her God. The gods of Moab didn't fulfill what she needed. And even though we're dealing with a family that is away from God, Naomi and Elimelech, Mahlon and Chilion, Jews, have left the promised land. You say, well, there's a famine in the land. Yes. Who allowed the famine to come? Their God. Who are they called upon to trust? Their God. It is interesting, yes, that you have these four who are from Bethlehem, literally the house of bread, leaving the house of bread because of a famine where they seemingly don't have bread, and ultimately not trusting God, and going to a land that they are forbidden to go to as far as God is concerned. The Jews were to have no dealing with the Moabites. Why? Well, they're distant relatives. We know that. This Moab and Ammon are sons of Lot, nephew to Abraham. But when the Israelites leave Egypt to come to the promised land, how did the Moabites treat them? Not very well. We just want to pass through your land. We're going to stay on the road. We're not going to get off the road, and we'll pay you for anything that we... No. No. You're not coming through our land. Cause them problems. And as a result, God said, Israelites, you have nothing to do with them. And here we are, a few hundred years later, and this family saying, we need to leave, folks. We're not trusting God. We need to provide for ourselves. And so they leave and go into Moab. And in the course of time, the two sons marry. But in that course of time, the husband, Elimelech, dies. And the two sons die. Again, why? Were they living for God? I would say not. How can they live for God in a foreign land? When did they sacrifice? They couldn't. They were in Moab. And yes, as Naomi notes, God's dealt heavily with me. Don't call me Naomi. Pleasant. Call me Mara. Bitter. Now, she's not bitter against God, and I think that's very evident as we look at this chapter. Because we look and see, we see how Naomi handled herself in the family. Even though she's away from God physically, even though they're away from the promised land physically, there is still some trust in God. There is still that looking to God. Because now when she is in a position to make decisions that her husband would have been making as the head of the home, he's gone, her sons are gone, she decides to go home. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. She's a child of God. Now, yes, she has heard that there's food back in Bethlehem. But in the midst of this hardship that she has seen, the passing of her husband, the passing of her two sons, in a foreign land, amongst a foreign people, she doesn't turn her back on God. Could she have said to herself, God has forsaken me? Look what he has done to me. He's taken my husband away. He's taken my sons away. Why should I go back to him? He's the one that's allowed all this to happen. And yet, do we hear people say those kinds of words? When hardships come? I sure have. Whether they've done it physically or mentally, they've taken their fist, shaken it at God, and blamed Him for their problems. Naomi doesn't do that. She understands, yes, God's judgment has been upon them. She recognizes it as such. Because ultimately, was it right for God to judge them? Yes. He's God. Is it right for him to have shortened their lives, so to speak? I mean, we think of that. They didn't live to a ripe old age. Yes. Why? Because they weren't living for God. But she recognizes this. And Ruth is living through this. I mean, how interesting it is to see it from Ruth's perspective. A Moabitess, a pagan, a young lady who doesn't worship the one true God, who falls in love with this Jewish man who's come to her country, is now involved in this family that has left Israel, come to their country to find sustenance, to find work, to find food. But Ruth obviously sees how Naomi handled herself in the family. There's something different about Naomi. As she watches Naomi go through losing her husband and losing her two sons, what does she see? A woman still trusting God. I think she sees her as a good wife, listening to Elimelech. I mean, she didn't say, "Elimelech, you're on your own, buddy. You want to go to Moab? Fine, go. I'm not going." No, she followed her husband. I dare say she saw her as a good mother-in-law. I mean, what was the thought that Naomi had when her two sons, Jews, said, "Mom, Dad, I found Ruth. I found Orpah. We want to marry them." What kind of conversations went through that house? You want to marry who? I'm sure there were some conversations. These are Moabites. "Yeah, Mom and Dad, but we're not back home. We're not in Bethlehem, we're here. We're marrying age. These girls are taken care of, you know, they're nice girls." She obviously wasn't that stereotypical mother-in-law that we hear about. You know, the one that is never a good lady. Because we see the impact that she has upon her. Because when it's time to go, Naomi tells them, "Go back to your homes. You don't need to go with me." Orpah does exactly that. She returns back to her family's house. And we have that blessed verses there as Ruth notes to her, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, And here's the capstone. And thy God, my God. Yes, we see this tragedy in this family. Yet we see God still there. Even in the midst of their not doing the right thing, there is still that flicker, that look to God. That bears testimony to this lost Moabitess girl who sees that glimmer. Is it a bright, shining light testifying to God and His goodness? I would say no. Because they're not in Bethlehem. They're not completely obeying the Lord their God. But it is a flicker. Yes, we've turned away from God. We've done some things wrong. But God is still God. And we need to get some things right. And Naomi and Ruth sees this. And so I would say that there is, yes, that flicker that she looks to. She sees. Enough to say that your God, the God of Israel, will be my God. My gods have left me empty. Your God, even in the midst of what you're going through, has a flicker of hope that I don't have. And so, yes, your God will be my God. She sees how Naomi handles the grief. Again, she doesn't turn against God. She turns back to God. In a much fuller way, because it's now, I need to go back home. I need to get back to the land of promise. I need to be back where God truly is God in my life. And so, yes, she returns. And I believe that ultimately, as we see the last point there, she saw that the source of Naomi's strength lay in her faith. And that's why she can say, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Because she has seen the life of Naomi. There's no rosy painting this. Naomi's a daughter-in-law. Excuse me, Ruth is. Yes, thank you. Get that strange look from my wife letting me know. You know, she's seen the family. She's watched her father-in-law pass away. Her brother-in-law. Her husband. She has seen how Naomi has dealt with all of this. And truly has seen the difference that, yes, Christ makes in our life. As we live the lives that God has given to us, when we live in the good times, when we see God's hands of blessings upon us, and we rejoice, and rightfully so, I'm not knocking it. Others see it too. Do we see often a lot of people saying, hey, I want your God? Usually not. But when you face hardships, when you face tragedies, And we see you face it with the firm, calm resolve of God in our hearts. Does that not tend to get the attention of the lost around us? It usually does. Because they see you're not falling to pieces. Why aren't you in hysterics? Why aren't you cursing God? Why aren't you throwing your fist up at Him? Because we understand God is in control. And His will and way is unfolding. His purpose and plan are being played out in our lives. Doesn't mean that I understand it all. But I know His will is playing out. And I trust Him. Knowing that His will is at work. And I trust Him. And I follow Him. I can't explain it to you, but He's still my God. That has power. Because the world sees what they do when things go bad. And that's what they expect from everybody else. But then you come along in their lives and you don't behave like the rest of us. What do you have that I don't have that allows you to continue living like that? How can you have the joy of the Lord in the midst of this turmoil? How can you have peace in the midst of this calamity? Glad you asked. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about the one who saved me, who gave me a new life in Him. Let me tell you about His Son, Jesus Christ, who robed Himself in human flesh and paid the penalty for my sins when He died on the cross of Calvary and rose again the third day, victorious over sin, death, and hell, on my behalf because I couldn't do it myself. Many of the consequences we face are because of our own sins. But God has redeemed me. He's made me a child of His. And yes, there are still some hard things that happen. It tests my faith. It strengthens my faith. It draws me closer to Him. And He shines brightly as a result. And it's caused you to come talk with me. So now we can talk. And I can share. And we see that with Naomi. And it bears fruit in the life of Ruth. Naomi gave Ruth the gift of faith. An indestructible faith. A faith that places her, as we've noted, not just as, I believe, it's the great-great-grandmother of David, but ultimately the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. a Moabitess who is despised is in the godly line of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a great and gracious God. Can we not learn from that? So many people think that the Old Testament God is just a judgmental God. But the God of the New Testament, oh, he's the gracious God. Really? I see a lot of grace in the Old Testament. Here's a prime example. Ruth is brought to God because of the life of Naomi, her mother-in-law. Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your people are my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I die. Nothing separates us. What an impact. It seems little here in the opening chapter, but we see the rest of it unfold as God's providential hand is at work. They come back at the beginning of barley harvest. She happens to go glean in a field of a near kinsman to Naomi, a man who will become her husband. The kinsman redeemer, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our place, was our substitute. Truly an amazing story of God's providential working, yes, and of God's gracious hand of mercy and love to all. Not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. And we in our day certainly rejoice in that, because he brought the blessed message of salvation to us. And to my knowledge, not one of us is Jewish. We're all Gentiles, pagans, apart from the promises of God in the Old Testament. But we've been grafted in. And we praise God for that. And we see that working even in the midst of the Old Testament era with Ruth, because of Naomi, a woman of faith. May we be men and women of faith in our day. Are we going to face hardships, kind of like what Naomi has faced? Oh, sure. We've seen loved ones die. We've seen the results of us making wrong decisions concerning our God and seeing the consequences unfold. But it's a time to turn to God, seek his forgiveness and cleansing, and ask for his grace and strength, and see God bless in the midst of the calamities. Thank God for these ladies that we see throughout the Scriptures. Oh, there are some bad ladies in the Scriptures, I understand. Just like there are bad men. But we have those blessed pictures to show us both the good and the bad. We can live for God, regardless of where we live, regardless of the time we live, regardless of the hardships that we face. We can, because we've seen it exemplified in the Scriptures. What a gift that Naomi gave to Ruth. May we do so with those that we come in contact with in our lives. Gift of faith. Faith toward the one true God who has changed us when He saved us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the example that we see here in the life of Naomi. Father, we see the problems that we make in our lives. We do it ourselves. We don't we're human beings. We don't need any help making problems. We do very well on our own. But Father, we also see how You are at work, even in the midst of those wrongs, to bring about right. You are always pressing, pushing, prodding to bring us back to Yourself, we who know You. For the lost, You are always showing them, convicting, convincing, demonstrating to them Your faithfulness, Your love, Your mercy. Far too often they turn a blind eye. They seek to accuse instead of understanding. They've brought it upon themselves. Father, we thank You that You can show us that our perspective may be off. We're not viewing things properly when we turn our backs on You. Whether it is a lost person who seeks to blame You for their own calamities, their own consequences, or whether we as Your children have falsely done so, You chasten us because You love us. Father, help us to keep that right perspective, a biblical perspective, Your perspective. Father, You may not completely reveal and show us clearly what You are doing. But Father, You always give us at least an understanding of knowing that You are at work and You have a purpose and plan that is unfolding. A purpose and plan that we can trust You to go forward with. Father, I pray that we would, as believers, we've had a lot of things go through our lives. Help us to continue to trust. You will never fail us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You've promised. And we can hold You to that promise because You are ever faithful. So may we do so. Father, You may have fingered hearts this morning, gotten our attention about things. May we seek You out. Where necessary, to seek Your forgiveness. Because You are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We may be crying out, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. We need to trust You more. Father, You know the circumstances. You know what's going on. And You have the right measure to get our attention. May we acknowledge that this morning. May we go forth for You, bringing honor and glory to You in all that we say and do. We thank you for the mothers that are here. We thank you for the impact that they make in our lives. Some negative, some positive. Some the mix, because we're human. But we do thank you for our mothers. And we thank you for the impact that they make in our lives, particularly when they know you. And they seek to live for you and inculcate those truths of your word into our lives. We thank you for that impact, that example. Help us to reciprocate and do so as you give us children, so that they then can pass it on to theirs. We thank you for the heritage. And Father, for those that don't, help them to understand that they can start that heritage. They may be the first generation to know Christ. Help them to stand up and live for you and pass it on to the next generation, so that they too, they may one day rise up and call her blessed. Father, may we go forth in your strength this morning, rejoicing in who you are and what you have done in our lives, so that we may go forth bringing honor and glory to you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.